I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, each and every Sunday, this verse has new meaning for me. You know, as I just keep on living just a little bit longer, as I just keep on going on, when the Bible talks about training up a child in the way they should go, you know, part of that is waking them up every Sunday morning and taking them to the church house. Everybody that's living under your roof, taking them to church each and every Sunday, because it was there during those years, my younger years, when I heard the wisdom of the old deacons. I used to hear the wisdom of the church mothers. And during testimony service, they were saying things like, Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, I thank you that the four walls of my room was not my grave, that my bed was not my cooling board, and my cover was not my winding sheets. Lord, I thank you for waking me up in my right mind with a reasonable portion of my health and my strength. You know, our pastor spoke about the little forget-me-nots long time ago. That's why I get excited each and every Sunday. That's why my testimony is part of the 122nd Psalm. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because that's where my Lord and Savior is. That is where my healing is. That's where my blessings are. And that's where my praises shall be. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live, where we are streaming from West Philadelphia, where the pastor, Elder Jonathan E. Ford, is our pastor. So welcome to those on Facebook, welcome to those on YouTube, and welcome to everyone live in the sanctuary. I'm glad to be here this Sunday morning, and we will open up with a prayer. And I ask that everyone please stand with me. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for you and a cross for me. Our Father and our God, we thank you simply for blessing us to see just one more day. A day that you have prepared, and although we don't know what today may hold, we put our faith and trust in the one that has prepared it. You see, Lord, we are a lost people. We're lost and we need to be found. We are but dead men walking that need to be made alive. We are sinners in need of a Savior. So we come to you. We come to you broken and beaten. We come to you tired. But Lord, it is you that we come to, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort. We put our trust in you and you alone. For you said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So no matter what the circumstances, no matter where we are in the storms of life, we know that you are greater than them all. So we lift up to you all of our cares. We lift up to you all who we love and ask that you bless them and just remember them. Lord, we ask a special blessing over the pastor and his family, the shepherd of this house, this branch of Zion. We pray for his continued strength and his wisdom. We ask that you give him the tongue of the learned, that he may speak a word to him that is weary. For Lord, we commit this day to you and ask that you go before us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us in the ways that we should go. In the name of the only begotten Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And I will ask that everyone remain standing. And we're going to ask Brother Preston to read our scripture for this morning.
Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that out of this glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep his is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to measure the of all the fullness of God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, the word of the Lord. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You may be seated. And at this time, you know, the Lord always blesses you with a ram in the bush. We're going to ask our own Reverend Barb to give us a sermonic selection. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. On this morning, as we bring this beautiful gift of God and return him to God, I'm reminded of probably the first song we all learned in Sunday school. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him below, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Come on, let's do this as a group, a congregational song this morning, because I'm not prepared. Amen. Amen. I know everybody knows this. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him below, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Let's do that again. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him below, they are weak, but he is strong. Lift your voice. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. The next voice you hear will be that of our pastor, Elder Jonathan Ford.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. What I wanted to do, and I'm looking for our man of honor. I wanted to dedicate and bless Langdon before I preached. But if he's otherwise detained, we'll do it later. Go ahead, bring me my Bible. If you have your Bibles, because we're going to prepare for the Word of God nonetheless. If you have your Bibles this Sunday morning, we're in Judges, the 13th chapter. The book of Judges, the 13th chapter. And we're going to endeavor this morning to read through the entire chapter. If you guys have been following over the last several weeks, I have been preaching two young men. I've been preaching four young men and about young men. And I'm continuing in that same vein this Sunday morning. Okay? And I'm going to do it out of the book of Judges, the 13th chapter. I invite you to turn there with me. Once you have it, I am going to invite you to stand. And as I said, we're going to read through the entire chapter. 25 verses, okay? Judges the 13th, right? What's interesting about this particular passage is this is about a particular person, character, Samson, many of you know. But this is happening before he is born. The other characters that I've been utilizing over the last several weeks, we talked about Joshua and him leading Israel across Jordan. We talked about David and his mythical battle against Goliath. And this Sunday, we're going to begin talking about Samson. And actually, we're going to continue into next month. But this particular passage occurs before he is born. Okay? Everybody with me? Okay, everybody have it? Judges, the 13th chapter. Okay, and it says, and again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. It says, now there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. Verse 3 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And so the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, to the day of his death. So then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please help, please let the man of God whom you sent to us come again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. The angel of the Lord came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah rose, followed his wife, and when he came to the man, he said to him, Are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. And he says, what will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I have said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything that is unclean. All that I commanded, let her observe. And then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Verse 17. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? The angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? And so Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened that as the flame went up towards heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was, in fact, the angel of the Lord. Verse 22, and Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. The child grew and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, final verse. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahaneh Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. May the Lord bless and consecrate his word into our hearts. For the next couple of minutes, I just want to preach from the subject, the sons of Samson. The sons of Samson. Shall we bow our head? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your great name. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be gathered here in this house, in this place, and at this time, for the purpose of hearing your word. Father, I pray that you would steady us, calm our nerves, give us the ability to focus our attention, that we may give more earnest heed to the things of God. Give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and above all, give us a heart to obey. Father, remember your manservant today. I pray that I decrease, that your word might increase. And not only increase in me, but also in the ears of the hearer. Cause your word to bring forth fruit, some 60 and some 100-fold. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. Thank you for your patience in standing. We covered a lot of ground. Okay? So we're going to jump right into it. And I want to start by asking the question, what is the best haircut for black boys today? I wish I had a real church. What is the best haircut for black boys today? Okay? The best haircut depends on individual style, but popular and stylish options for black boys today include taper fades with various lengths on top, like a high top, or with twists or coils. The buzz cut with a skin fade, that's what I have, if you didn't know that. But not many black boys have this today. I'm still rocking it with that. And you have cornrows and various other styles. The key is finding a style that the individual feels confident and comfortable in, with many contemporary options focusing on clean fades and styling the natural texture on top of the young man's head. Amen? And so if you're like me today, especially within the African American tradition, we are all continuing, young men, to express ourselves through our hairstyle, right? When we were young, it was high top fades. Years ago, it was the afro. But as African American people, as males, we have also, it's not just the women, but the men too, we have also expressed ourselves through our hair. You follow what I'm saying? And that tradition continues even today. Now, my challenge today, as a father, three sons, my challenge today is when my sons go to the barber shop, I've noticed a couple things. One, prices for haircuts have gone up significantly. There was a time you could go to a shop and for $10 you could be good for the next couple of weeks, right? But now haircuts are in the range of anywhere from $35 to $50 for a simple haircut, right? Gone are the days of the local barbershop in your neighborhood where if you didn't even have an appointment, you know you could get in there and get a cut. You may have to wait, but you could get in and get a cut. Nowadays, it's by appointment only. I actually went into a barbershop a year or two ago to get a haircut, and I'm in the shop ready to get a haircut, and then all the barbers said, oh, yeah, we only take appointments. You don't have an appointment. I said, but I'm right here. When you finish him, they like by appointment only. But here's the downside again to me, father, three boys, of having a haircut. Not only are the prices high, but there is considerably less hair on the floor. Higher prices, but less hair on the floor. Because all of the young guys today, they don't what? They don't cut their hair. They want their hair to grow because they want one of these styles. They want cornrows. They want twists. They want coils. And in order to have all that, they need their hair to grow. So they say, Dad, let's go. I got to go to the barbershop because I got to get my hair cut. And really, all they're getting at the barbershop is a shape-up. That's all they're getting. Because when you look on the floor next to the chair, there's what? There's no hair on the. Very little is on the covering that they wear. And yet and still, the barber tells me that's $40. I'm like, wait a minute. I could have done that at home and kept my foot, but no, they want to go. They want to shape up. The guys don't want their hair cut because all of the guys want long hair, with very few exceptions. Myself, a few others, but you can tell we're all what? Old. All the young guys, they want long hair, right? So you're with me on that. So I'm using that to kind of set the sermon up. Now, we're here, we're talking about Samson before we're born, just in general. How many folks are familiar with the life and story of Samson? that you know something about him, heard something about him. And so if I were to ask, what are the two things that are most common about Samson? His hair and what else? His strength. You don't even have to go to church to know that when you hear the name Samson, those things just immediately say, oh, Samson. Yeah, he had long hair and he was very strong. Right? But just they named products. I remember growing up with luggage. There used to be a luggage called Samsonite. Right, what? Driven off this image. Why? Samson was strong, so Samsonite, the message they were trying to send, the marketing message, that this luggage was what? Very strong. So if it got thrown around and all this other stuff, all of your clothing and whatever you had inside would be protected because this was Samsonite luggage. Very strong on the outside, okay? So we know that by Samson. You know that he had long hair, very similar to the young guys today. And also, he was very strong. Okay? So now, with that as a backdrop, let's look at this story again under the microscope. So verse 1 says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Okay, the most important thing about this whole passage is verse 1. Okay, are you with me? Everybody got it? What? The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and as punishment, as judgment, the Bible said, he delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Okay, Samson is born at a time when his people are under oppression and suppression by the Philistines. Okay? Now, there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and had no children. Verse 3 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have no children, but in spite of that, you shall conceive and bear a son. Okay? Now, be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, nor to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Okay? This whole description of not to drink wine, not to eat anything unclean, and not to cut his hair were part of a Israelite tradition called being a Nazarite. Okay? He shall be a Nazarite unto God. What does that term mean? A Nazarite. That word Nazarite simply means, it comes in the Hebrew language, it means to be separated and consecrated. Right? That's at its baseline. That when, if someone is a Nazarite, that means that their life has been separated and consecrated unto God. Okay? So that's the first part. And in this Nazarite restrictions, you can read more about it in the book of Numbers, but here, as it relates to Samson's life, God gave three restrictions that were to begin even in his mother's life, right? In his mother's life, why? Because she was carrying him, right? And at the time and during the time of her pregnancy, God was saying, look, what I'm getting ready to do with his life has to begin in the womb of your mother, right? Not just going to wait till you're born, but God is saying, I'm going to begin to move on your life. I wish someone would listen to what I'm saying. While you're in the womb of your mother. Are you with me? How many know God has plans for you? How many of you believe that God has a purpose for you? How many of you understand that God's plan and God's purpose for you begins before you, whatever, you got to hear it or understand. Because if not, you won't treat it with the respect it deserves, right? You got to understand that God begins to move in our lives and on our lives even before we are born. He told Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to bless you and plans to prosper you. Even when you were in your mother's womb. Are you with me? So God gave his mother three restrictions that would pass on from her to her son. First, no wine, right? No razor cutting the hair. And no touching of a dead body, thus becoming defiled. Okay? No wine, no razor cutting, no haircuts, and no touching of dead bodies. So that meant that this young man, when he was born, could not participate in he could participate, but he couldn't be a pallbearer. Why? Because he couldn't come near dead things, dead bodies. Are you with me? So these were the restrictions. And so here it is. Now, if you get this, I'm setting the sermon up. Here's the hook. You got to get this. So my question for every man, for every young man here today, especially those of you that are letting your hair grow and wasting my $40 every time you go. Here's the question. Are you a Nazarite? Right? What is a Nazarite? Means someone who has been separated and consecrated unto God. And as a result of that consecration, right, they don't drink wine. They don't cut their hair, right? Nor do they touch dead bodies. All right? Let me ask it again. I got men in here. I have young men in here. And I just want to ask the question, are you a Nazarite? Right? I'm asking it because you have one of the outward signs. What in your mind, you're doing it for style, you're doing it for fashion, you're doing it because it's trendy, it's what all the young guys are doing today, and the young guys are what? They're all letting their hair grow, right? All of my sons, yeah, I'm letting my hair grow. I just want to shape up, I'm letting, could it be, you're saying I'm doing it because that's the style now. Could it be you're doing it because God wants you to be a Nazarite? Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, here we go. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. It was very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. He said to me, behold, you shall conceive, bear a son, and now drink no wine, nor similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Now here's verse 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born, right? This here, I want everybody to pay, this is for the parents, right? If you're here and you're a parent, a grandparent, a godparent, I want you to listen to this, right? This is your part of the sermon. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, Oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent to us come again, listen, and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Right? Look at somebody and say, that's the parents' prayer. Right? I am so proud of Emmanuel and Alex, because as a family, they have said it is important that we bring all of our sons. Today is Landon's day, but we want them to be consecrated, bless them to the Lord. Why? Because we consider it important. Right? In chatting with her and preparing for today, they've got a lot of stuff going on today, even after church. But they still thought it important enough to bring their sons to church. Right? Well, here's my message to parents, grandparents, godparents, aunts and uncles everywhere. Bring your children back to church. There is something that is valuable that happens in and through the life of a young person when they are reared in church. Can I get a witness, anybody? Right? So much of my own development, so much of my own character has been shaped and informed by what I learned in church. One of the things people always ask me, how do you remember, know all those scriptures? Do you know where I learned all the scriptures? I didn't learn it in preaching school or in theology school. You know where I learned it? I learned it, what? In church. In Sunday school, they made us memorize the scriptures. They made us learn the scriptures. It wasn't so that, oh, he's becoming a preacher. No, they just, that was what we had to do. It was what we had. We learned how to serve in the church. We learned how to be respectful in church. And I love Manoah's prayer. Manoah said, Lord, come and what? Teach us what we must do, right? God, now, listen, I'm with you. I know you know a lot, and I know many of you know more than me, right? But none of us know more than what? God. If you want to have success as a parent, pray Manoah's prayer, right? And his simple prayer was simply this. He said, Lord, teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. You're like my generation. My generation, this was our motto. We know more than our parents. That's my generation. We believe that. And as a result, we raised our kids, right, trying to do it better, right, than what our parents, because why? We thought we knew more, right? Only to get down the road and what? Come all the way back and call mom and dad, right, right? Had we just opened ourselves up for counsel, had we just humbled ourselves and say, you know, you don't know everything, you don't know all of the answers, you know, but even if you don't go back to your parents, whatever you do, ask God how to parent. Did I help anybody this Sunday, right? If you leave here today, if nothing else, you can say, the pastor gave me a prayer that I can begin to pray. Lord, teach us what we must do. All right, verse 9. The God, listen to this. I love this right here. It says, and God listened to the voice of, when, listen, everybody, please look at me. Look at this. This is worth gold. When you ask God for help, God will always answer. Most people accuse God of being aloof or far off or distant. You know what I mean? And it's not that, but most times when we pray, we don't ask God for help. We tell God what we want him to do. Right? I want you to look at me and understand something. That is not asking for help. Right? When you just go to someone and say, hey, just give me this so I can do the. Well, you're telling me what you want. Manoah's prayer was this. Lord, teach us. Tell us. We're open. We're not coming in with any preconceived ideals or notion. We're open to what you say is best for us. When you approach God like that, God will always answer. So a lot of times when we say, oh, God, when I, you know what, Pastor, I pray, but God doesn't answer me. Well, because you haven't asked him anything.
Your prayers are directives to God. God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. Never once have you opened up and say, Lord, what do you think is best for me in my life? Do I got a witness? Here it is. So he's got that. He said, he listened. God listened. He said, the angel of the God came to the woman again. She was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. The woman ran in haste, told her husband, said to him, look, the man, right, who came to me the other day has now appeared to me again. Right? Why? In response to what? Manoah's prayer. He's back. So Manoah rose, followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, the angel of the Lord said this. If you're a Bible scholar, this is your preaching point. So Manoah rose, followed his wife, came to the man and said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. I really thought I was going to get a better reaction from the audience. The better part of my preaching time last Sunday was spent talking about the names of God. And one of the most significant names is the name Jehovah. Right? Jehovah. The Lord. And this name is derived from when God tells Moses, in a burning bush, he tells him, I want you to go back to the people and I want you to tell them that I am getting ready to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptian. And Moses asked a very practical question. He said, I'm talking to a burning bush that is actually talking back to me. And now, this voice out of this bush wants me to go tell all of these Israelite people that their God, who they haven't heard from for over 400 years, called me up on my cell phone and said he's about to deliver you. So Moses asked God, he said, who shall I tell them has sent me? And God simply tells them that what? I am that I am. So anytime you read your Bible and you see that I am in capital, it is a reference to God himself. So now we've got an angel working in the story. Now, because of clues, and we're good Bible study students, now we know that this angel of God is actually God himself. Why? Because when Manoah asked him his name, he simply said what? I am. Now, Manoah didn't recognize the significance of his name like many of us did not recognize the significance of his name, but it's still important. So here it is, verse 12. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What? Ooh, good. All the dads, right? This is your part in the sermon. Right? I got parents in, grandparents, godparents. Now everybody here who is a father, who wants to be a father, listen to this. Right? Here it is. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? Right? What is the one question that every father asks of his son? What's the one question every father asks of his son? Huh? Who got it? Every father asks this question of their son. I thought with all these dads, y'all be jumping over the seat. Oh, this here it is. I gotta go because we got other stuff to do. Every father wants to know this. This is the question they ask of their son. Do you have a job? Every father will ask their son at some point in their life, look, I don't care what you've done, where you've been, I don't know. All I want to know today, right here, right now, do you have a job? Right? Can I get a witness from, any dads agree with what I'm saying? Right? That's for a son. Now, you may approach your daughter differently, but if you're a father and you have a son, look, do you have a job? Why? Because then we can talk about other stuff. But right now, at the age you are, how much you're costing me each day in my house, food, all I want to know is, do you have a job? Ask somebody next to you, do you got a job? Look, of all the things this guy prayed to God, teach us how to raise him. Now God answers him by showing up again. And look what Manoah, what will his rule be, and what will be his work? As a father, that's what's important to us, for our sons. That they grow up, and as they become men, that they get a job, right? Because that job is what's going to allow them to what? Provide, protect, care, you know, all of that stems from what you having, what? A job. Look at somebody and say, get a job. If you're a man, you got to have a job, right? Why? Because God has designed us as men to do what? Work. We are built to work. You want to see a frustrated man? I'll show you one if he doesn't have a job. He's frustrated. Because oftentimes as men, we define ourselves by our what? Our work. So we ask, what kind of job is this guy going to get? If my wife's got to do this, she can't drink, she can't eat, we can't cut his hair. What is going to be his future, right? This is what he's asking him. Do you have a job? Verse 13. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I have said to the woman, let her be careful. So do what I've told her. I don't need to repeat myself. She needs to do what I've told her. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. God had already told the woman what Samson would be back in verse 5. Remember what he said back in verse 5? So Manoah's asking, what kind of job is he going to have? What kind of future is he going to have? And all the angel of the Lord does is says, your wife must listen to what I've already told her. Right? Now I want you to go back. This happens to us so many times. Everybody, you got your Bible, you got where we are. Go back to verse 5. And I just want to read. He has already answered this question. Either his wife didn't tell him, or if he did, like many of us, he didn't believe him. Verse 5 says, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, no razor on his head, shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And here it is. You want to know what kind of job he's going to have? It's right here. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He had already told him what the young man's job would be. Right? Now look. I want you to listen to me because I'm coming in the home stretch. How many of us, if we ever open ourselves up to God, how many of us over years look back and realize God already told me, but I didn't believe it. So we like to accuse God, oh, God's not answering my prayer. Pastor, what's going on? You told me to pray for 7 days. I prayed for 7 days and I haven't heard from God. Pastor, you told me to fast and I fast and I consecrate and I still haven't heard from God. And what we're accusing God again of being distant or silent or aloof in our life, could it be God has already spoken to us, but at the time he spoke, we were not willing or interested in what God says? When do people pray the most? When they're in trouble. Could it be that even before you get in trouble, God has already spoken in your life, but you were too busy or not interested, and you failed to hear the voice of the Lord? What did I always tell you about when God speaks? Two things you always got to remember. One, when God speaks, he doesn't speak often. Right? You're not going to hear from God every Thursday. You just not, because God doesn't speak often, right? And when he does speak, how does he speak? Very softly. That's why I said one of the most important things you can do in your spiritual development is to get a place where you can be at a consistent time and be what? That whole thing we did the other Wednesday, Deacon Todd did on meditating on the Bible. Before you can meditate on the Bible, you got to do what? You got to get somewhere, sit down, and first be what? Quiet. Because God doesn't speak often, and when he does, he speaks. So this guy is asking, what kind of life, what kind of job will my son have? And the angel of God has already told his wife. Now, I'm assuming, just like she told everything else, she told him what the angel said. But Manoah chose what? Not to listen. So now he's asking God again for something God has what? Already answered. All right? Look at your neighbor and say, make sure you're listening. God may have already told you. He may have already given you the answer. Just you or your life was too busy and you failed to hear. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, make sure you're listening. Here it is. I'm in the home stretch. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, let us detain you. And we will prepare a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. Here it is. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of God. Are you with me? Let us detain you. Hospitality. Let us prepare a young goat for you. You're here. Let us be a blessing to you. You're being a blessing to us. Right? Wife barren. No children. Now at your word. What? She's preparing to conceive. Let us be a blessing to you. Right? Always set your life to be a blessing to God. Why? No matter how much or how often you bless God, God will always do what? Bless you more. Right? It says, we used to sing a song in the old church, but it doesn't matter how much you give, right? God will always do more. How did that? I had it on my tongue. You can't beat God giving, right? No matter how much, he'll always give. God will always give you more, right? So set your heart to be a blessing. They want to be a blessing to the man of God. But the man of God says, look, if you're going to give anything or do anything, he said, I don't want anything to eat, right? And again, you're not recognizing who I am. I'm in the form of a man, but I'm not a man, right? All right? But you're not able to see that now. But he said, if you're going to do anything, offer a burnt offering, right? So he says, look, do something, do it, and do it unto God. He's trying to coin. This is us, men. We have a hard time listening to God. Because as men, we want to be like God. If I don't say anything else, I said more than enough. I'm coming straight. I'm not even pulling punches. That's how you talk when you talk to men. Don't beat them. Just say what it is. Oftentimes, men struggle in our relationship with God to develop one, to have one, because we want to be like God. And if we're going to be like God, then the reality is what? I don't need God. That's why when men have success, they're hard to talk to. Why? Because we feel like God. And listen, men, there's nothing wrong with that. Pastor, I'm all confused now. You just said it was a problem. Now you're saying nothing wrong with it. It's nothing wrong with it, because this is what the witness, this is what the Word of God tells us about men. That when God created us, He created us in His very own image and likeness. So there's nothing wrong with wanting to be like God. The challenge for us as men and as young men is to understand that while He has created us like Him, James, help me preach. I asked James, what's the question? James said, as a father, we want our sons, listen, to be better than us, but not God. God did not create man to be better than himself. That's not why he created him. That's what we want. Right? James said it. That's what fathers want. We want our sons to go on and do more, go further, have more than what we are. So we want our sons to excel above us, but not God. That's why Jesus was the only one qualified to serve as the key man in God's plan, because as a man, he never exalted himself above his father. He never did. He had opportunities to do so. Told his disciples, I could call down 10,000 angels right now, but no. But in doing so, I would exalt myself above my Father. This is the prayer he prays on the eve of his death. Father, not my will, but your Father, let your will be above mine. That's the challenge we have as men. We oftentimes want to exalt our will above God's will. That's why I said our prayers are not really prayers. We don't ask God for anything. We tell God what we want. So again, let me be clear. I just want to be clear on this, fellas. There's nothing running to be like God. Nothing wrong with wanting to be an authority. Nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. He built us that way. That's why you have that in you. That's why you want to work. That's why because you want to be that. But don't want it more than you want God. That's the trap. That's where we miss it. Right? Satan fell for one reason. And one reason only. He said what? I will be like the Most High. You read Isaiah 13 or 14. That's what he said. Out of his own mouth. He said, I will ascend above the heavens of God. He didn't want to be like God. He wanted to be above God. He wanted to be God's God. And he couldn't have it. So as a result, the Bible said what? He fell. As men, oftentimes, that's what trips us up, is what? Pride. We want more than what God has allotted to us. If you got it, say, I got it. Good. Here we are. I got to get out of this. Come on. Is Landon awake? Good. As long as he's awake, I can keep preaching. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, he said, what is your name that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? Right? And then he said, the angel said, this is your preaching point. Right? Come on, where my drummer at? Come on, help me out. Okay, I'm going to preach it up. Help, get on those drums. I'm going to preach this out. This is your preaching part of the sermon. Y'all ready? Get it. Look, don't look at him. That's not Manoah. Manoah is in your Bible, right? Look, listen to what he said. Manoah said to the angel, what is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. Listen to what God says. And this is why you got to know your Bible, because when you know your Bible, then you can understand your Bible. Look what it says. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful? Anybody get it? Any lights go off? Maybe I'm preaching at the wrong church. I don't know where I'm going. He said, seeing that my name is wonderful. Here it is. Isaiah 9:6 says what? For unto us is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government, this is in your Bible, shall be upon his shoulders. Get this, church. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Give me a drum roll, drummer. There it is. There it is. Look, he told Manoah that what? His name is one. Isaiah says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Look at somebody and tell him his name is wonderful. I'm not talking about the bread. I'm not talking about what you make your ham sandwiches with, but the name of God is wonderful. It's not only is his name wonderful, but God himself, he is wonderful. Look at somebody and say, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. When I'm not good, when I'm at my worst, God is still wonderful. While we were in sin, Christ sent his son to die for us. Why? Because God is wonderful. Somebody shout yes. Am I telling the truth? Do you know him to be wonderful? Touch your neighbor and tell him he's wonderful. Here it is, 19:20. So Manoah took a young goat, a grain offering. And he offered it on the rock to the Lord. And the angel, here's that word again, did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. They have the goat. There's a stone. They put fire to it. And they sacrificed the goat along with the grain offering. And we got enough dads here to know, what's the most important thing about a barbecue is what? You gotta have what? You gotta have a fire. Where's Paul at when I need him? You're gonna work the grill. The first thing you need is what? You need a fire. Alright? And I remember we used to make, dad used to do the grill. Young boy, he's teaching us. Stand back. He put that fluid on it. That flame go up. This, and I'm going to prove to you, I wasn't always a pastor. How many remember the old Eddie Murphy, right? Murph said what? Of his uncle. Now that's a father. You got to be my age to even know. Some of y'all don't even know who Eddie Murphy is, but that's neither here nor there. But one of his early comedy strips, he would talk about his uncle and that barbecue, and he would say, now that's a fire. Why? Because he put more liquid, because that fire went up. Everybody stood back. You had to wait for that fire to what calm down. Then you could put the grill on and start. Because when this guy offered the burnt offering, the Bible said the flames went up. And the angel of the Lord got into the fire of the burnt offering and went up into heaven with the fire and the smoke, causing Manoah and his wife to realize the only person that can do something like that is God himself. He didn't want to eat the goat because, not being a man, he didn't need food. But the one thing God does desire is what? Praise and worship. And when Manoah and his wife humbled themselves and offered the goat, the burnt offering, and when the fire went up, then the angel of the Lord stepped into the fire and went up to heaven along with it, proving to Manoah that not an average Joe had stopped by, but in fact you had been visited by the presence of the Lord. Now look what Manoah said. This is us, fellas. This is why I got to preach this. This is for us. He says, the flame went up. He said, verse 20, it happened that as the flame went up towards heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Could it be that as men, as young men, boys, teenagers, I want you to go back and play the tape of your life. Go back and rewind your life. Boyhood years, teenage years. First girlfriend, first wife, first job loss. First time you really got sick. Could it be that at the pivotal moments of your life, you were in the presence of God and didn't know it? Remember how I started the sermon off? That when God gets involved in your life, he gets involved when? Before you're ever born. You know, I'm preaching the life of Samson, and what? Samson's not even born yet. And God was already what? Working in his life. For so many of you, men, young men, boys, God is already working in your life. But so many times we fail to know. We chalk it up as circumstance. Well, that's just the way that went down. That's just the way that happened to me. No, it's not that. I want to give you another option to consider. Could it be that God is working in your life and you didn't know it? How many men are open to that possibility this Sunday? Pastor, yeah. Now that I think about it, now that you've told me this thing, Manoah and Samson and this, could God have been working in my life and I didn't know it? Could it be that I wasn't in a church that could help me understand the development of a man of God as he gets older? And as a result, I had no one to go to. I didn't have a pastor. I didn't have a father, an uncle, a God. I didn't have anyone to go to give me God's perspective on what was happening in my life. For many of us as men, this is what's happening every day. God has chosen us before we were born. God is using the events and the activities of our lives not to push us away from God, but in reality to draw you closer to God. Because now God is ready to reveal His purpose for your life. You never recognize that as God. You'll never bow down. And you'll never worship. You'll continue down the path that most men travel. And that is the path of being God yourself. You're not. I'm not. It's not until we realize that that will change our ways. Do you follow what I'm saying? I want you to understand something, man. I'm trying to help us this morning. This is what's hindering us from achieving God greatness. We've got human greatness. We've got man greatness. But many of us fail to achieve the God greatness that is in us. Right? If you got it, say, I got it. Manoah now realizes that he has seen God. Verse 23, and his wife said to him, Manoah said, we're going to die. We've literally been in a conversation with God. And he said, if I understand our history and our ancestors, no man can ever see God. So he rightly presumes that their life is in jeopardy. Verse 23, the wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill. Listen to me, men. My goodness, I think I'm right at it. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I told you to play back your life. Listen to me. When you play back your life, look for the moments in your life. Listen. Where you almost died. As men, as boys, as black men, especially, countless moments in our lives where we almost died. Are you with me, men? And not only do we have moments, guess what? We know our fathers, what? Moments. My dad always taught me to respect police officers. You know why? Because he got beat up by police officers. And his life was in jeopardy. My dad came up out of the South. His father, a sharecropper. They traveled the road on foot because they didn't have cars. And as they walked, their life was literally in jeopardy. And I know guys our age, we like to look at it, and I told you we know better than our parents. So we like to say what? Oh, that was then. I'm not going to say I did. I don't want you to do it. But look at the current times. Look what's happening now if you stand up for your rights. Look what's happening now. Not in your father's time. Not in your grand. Look what's happening today. You decide to stand up for what's right. Told you a couple Sundays ago, one of the ways you determine a manhood is when you find what? A cause. Look what happens if you stand up for a cause today. And it's not with popular opinion. What? Life is in jeopardy. Last Wednesday night, we had my Jewish friends on the phone. You know what they were telling me? You heard the young lady Jill talking about what's going on college campuses. Jewish boys getting what? Stomped out. It resonates with us because what? When we start going to school, we were what? Stomped. What? They didn't want us there. So we remember it. We relate to it. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? This is the point I want you to get because I'm reading it right here. But God did not allow it to kill us. That's the reason you're here today. Not because you're strong. Not because you're good looking. Not because you're smart. But God stayed the hand of the enemy and refused to let him kill you. Look, I can prove it. Why? Others around you, what? Died. I don't even need the Bible to preach that. I got friends my age who are not celebrating any more birthdays. Caught out. Wrong place, wrong time. No God on their side. And the enemy sifted them like wheat. You ought to thank God you're here today. All I'm trying to tell you, it's not of your own power. It's not of your own strength. It's not of your own might. But God literally has stepped between you and the devil and said, not today. Not this one. I've already spoken in his life. I've already got promises and blessings laid up for him. He's a son of God, and you can't have him. Are you guys with me? If you're with me, give God a praise. So his wife said, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands. Nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us as such things as these. That's the reason you're not dead. God's got a plan for you. Look at somebody and tell them God's got a plan for you. So the woman bore a son, called his name Samson. The child grew and the Lord blessed him. Here's the final verse and here's my conclusion. The Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. That's what God is waiting to do in your life. He's called you from before you were born. Pastor, my mom didn't go to church. Doesn't matter. Pastor, my dad wasn't a deacon or a priest. No, doesn't matter. Before you were born, God already knew you. Before you ever came into this world, he already had a plan for you. He had a purpose
had a path already designed and laid out for you. In all of your days, God has spent his time patiently trying to get your attention. Saying, I'm the one. I'm the one you made it. I'm the reason you are where you are today. I'm talking about playing back your life and seeing those near-death experiences. And as men, young men, especially African men, we all have them. We may not talk about them, but we have them. We all know, we remember when we were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we feared for our life. We remember it. It was God who was keeping you. So I finished. The sermon I told you is called The Sons of Samson. Samson, what do we know about Samson? He had what? He had long hair. And he was very strong. How many men here today have long hair? And I know you're doing it because that's the way they wear it now, Press. That's the way they do it now. I'm telling you, I'm the father of three sons. And I spend way too much money to see no hair on the ground. And I just want to say, this is it. This is the whole sermon. Could it be you're letting your hair grow because God has called you to be a Nazarite like Samson? Now, to consider this, you've got to be spiritual. Because in the natural, I know why you're doing it. You're doing it because that's what fellas are doing now. That's the way we wear our hair now. My sons spend more money on hair products than my wife. Per month. And I thought my sons were crazy, only to talk to other dads and find out what? They're doing it too! Could it be possible? Play with it. Just open yourself up to it. Hopefully, as I've preached, your heart has opened to God. So that you don't see Samson as a mythical, biblical character, but rather somebody just like you. Anytime I preach this hard and preach this desperately, it's because God is trying to reach someone. God is trying to reach a man, a young man, a young boy, and cause them to realize at this stage in their life, God is calling you. Just as he was calling Samson, even before he was born. God had already chosen him to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistine. He already had a job, already had a purpose. His job was to what? Find it. That's our jobs as men. Not to find girlfriends and wives, not to find jobs and careers, but to find our purpose in God. Manoah prayed, Lord, teach us what we are to do concerning our son. Shall we all stand? I wonder how many sons of Samson are here today. I know many of you have come for the occasion of Landon and his dedication. But could it be God has tricked you this Sunday morning? Many of you are here today because you like Haitian cuisine.
So many of you I haven't seen in church for over months. But when the announcements went out that there was haste, oh, look, all these people, Lord, help me. Could it be that God has set you up? And listen, God will do that. God will set you up. When God sets you up, listen, this is important. When God sets you up, it is often a sign you are running out of time. God has been patient. God has allowed you to go forward, quietly whispering in your name, quietly calling you to Him. But time and time again, we've ignored it. Decided I'm going to do what I want to do. I spent 18 years of my life doing what another man told me to do. Now I'm of age. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. When I want to do it, with whoever I want to do it with. And we fail to hear the voice of God. So oftentimes circumstance, trouble, brings us to Him. It's the time when people pray the most. And I'm just trying to tell you, don't wait for them. Don't wait for the critical moments of life to call on God. This is what the Bible says. Listen. He says this. He says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. We have to respond when God calls. I feel in my heart that God is calling somebody today. The only question is, will you answer? Will you just chalk it up as another Sunday? Just another Eagles game? Just another day in the week? I told you about your God. He doesn't speak often. And when He does, He speaks softly. I'm yelling because God won't yell. But I want you to hear His voice. If you're here this Sunday, and something about the preached word of God is tugging at your heart, I want you to come forward and I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Because I believe you're a son of Samson. If you're here, if you're a man, if you're a young man, a young boy, and you believe God is calling your name, will you come? I just want to take a moment. I just want to pray with you. I just want to pray for you. It's the turning point in your life. Things in your life are about to change. And they're not changing because I said so. They're not changing because something. No, they get ready to change because God said so. When I preach hard, because God's trying to get His voice across. And I yell because God won't yell. My house, my wife's the yeller. But God won't yell. If you're here this Sunday, Pastor, I've heard the message. Pastor, I believe I'm a son of Samson. I believe that just like God called Samson before he was born, because you have preached this message, now at least I'm open to considering. Where are my men? If you're here today, as a result of the preached word, don't come because these men have come. Come because you hear God calling you. Everyone who comes is a son of Samson. Is there another son of Samson here today? If you are, I invite you to come. This is our moment. This is our, as men, we don't get moments. And our lives is all about the ladies. It's all about our sons. It's all about our daughters. It's all, we very rarely get a moment for us. That's why it's so hard to me. I mean, if you're here, something that I've said, something that I've preached out of the Word of God has resonated with you. Will you come? Will you come? That's a sign God is calling you. It's a sign that He's called you to be a son of Samson. Everybody, everywhere, if you know Christ, begin to pray now. Everybody, if you know God and the pardon of your sins, pray now. Pray now. Why? These lives are on the line. These lives are, they're at a critical moment. They're at a junction in their lives. We got to get it right. Will you pray with me? Where are my church mothers? Will you pray? Come on, where are my men, my fathers, my grandfathers? Pray, but these are our sons. These are our nephews, our God's sons, who have come now before God. Father, in the name of Jesus, could it be that his hair is growing? Not because of style, not because of fashion, but because you have called him to be consecrated and separated unto you. Father, I pray for this young man now. Pray that your hand be upon, even as my hand is on his head, so let the hand of God be upon him. Father, in the name of Jesus, consecrate him. Separate him for your purpose. For your glory, Lord. Cause him to become a mighty man of valor. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. His heart is open to you. God, his will is to do your will. Father, speak to him now. The quiet moments of his life. In the private areas. In the place where only God speaks. Speak to him. God, reveal to him your plan, your purpose, not only for his life, but for the life of his family. God, for the life of his newborn baby. Hallelujah, God. Help him to pray Manoah's prayer. Lord, teach me how to be a real father. Teach me how to be a real dad. God, in the name of Jesus, he needs you more now than he's ever needed you before. Father, he comes to you. He comes to you now. He offers his life unto you. Father, in the name of Jesus, a true son of Samson stands before you now. Father, I pray that you not only hear my prayer, but Father, hear his prayer. Without moving his lips, without lifting his hands, his heart cries out for you, the true and the living God. Lord, answer his prayer. Draw him to yourself. Reveal your purpose for his life, in his life, and through his life. God, I sense wonderful things in the life of this young man. Father, draw him nearer, even now. Our Father, in heaven and in earth, I thank you for this life that has come before you. Response to your word. Who's now beginning to sense something missing in his life. And what's missing is you. And so, Father, I pray for him. And Father, I pray with him that you would begin to speak and move in his life. Give him ears to hear. Give him eyes to see. And above all, give him a heart to seek after you. God, I believe you're going to do wonderful and great things for your own glory. So bless him, Lord. Be a blessing not only to him, but to his family also.
and cause your name to be praised. Father, I thank you for these men that have come, not just here to the altar, but I thank you for these men who have come as a part of this worship experience today. God, I thank you for giving me a word for the house, a word for men, a word for young men, a word for sons. God, even as we preach to the male gender, God, remember the women in the house. Remember the female gender. Remember the significant role they play in shaping our lives. God, we're blessed today because of what you have done through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, as men, we commit and recommit our lives back to you. No longer will we try to be God. But God, today we will serve God and give you all of the glory for the wonderful things you have done. People of God everywhere, come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Let's thank God for these men who have come forward. Let's thank God for them. Thank God for what he is about to do in their lives. Thank God for all of you being here this Sunday. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the real sons of Samson, men who are strong and mighty men of valor. You may be seated all over the church. Now we're going to take a moment to dedicate our guest of honor, not our guest, our member of honor, Langdon Omega DeSources. So we're going to ask that his parents come forward. Just come and just sit on the front row. It'll just make it easier. Emmanuel and Alex DeSources. Come on, let's give them a hand. Let's thank God for Emmanuel and Alex. Tyrone, if you could move that bag for me, just in case we need that. Let's call forward these significant parties in their life, that being Preston and Roland. Going to ask you guys to come forward. You guys can sit over here. Preston and Roland, the brothers that are coming. Thank God for them. Looking good, sounding good, smelling good. Thank you. I know it's Landon's day, but we want to thank God for Preston. And part of the reason I had to preach quick, because you know I usually take an extra 20, but Preston is playing in a championship football game today. Pop Warner, 11U, 11 and under, 5:30 this afternoon, they will be playing for the state championship. So let's keep them in prayer. Amen. Though they're not with us today, we do want to honor the grandparents, Jonice and Alexandra Pettion, and Julia and Norlin Noel. Okay, we want to honor the grandparents, even though they are not here today. And our godparents, the godmother, Courtney Scott, going to ask her to come up front. And also Rico Joseph. I want to ask Brother Rico would come as well. I'm going to ask Brother Rico to sit on this side with the fellas. God bless you, man of God. Thank you. Not just for being here today, but for agreeing to play this significant role in our life. We want to thank God for the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, dressed in white, my man of God. Here it is. Let me just say this. I love these opportunities in these moments because it allows me to say something about the family dynamic that I'm often not able to do in the course of preaching. So one, when it comes to infant or baby dedication, we need to be mindful that this is not the same as water baptism. Okay? So many times I have encountered people in my office and I ask them, have you been baptized? And they all say, what? Yes, Pastor, I've been baptized. When I was 3 years old, my mother took me to Old Cornerstone Baptist, and that's not baptism. That's a baby dedication, an infant dedication, right? Because for a person to be baptized, they must be aware and acknowledge Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And obviously, as a young person, an infant, a baby, they're not able to do that. So as parents, we bring them that they might be blessed. But as parents, we also realize, and as church members, the goal is always what? Water baptism. Because if they get water baptized, it's a sign that they have what? Accepted Christ. Okay? So that's just in general. What I say to all of the young kids here, Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? Children, you have to obey your parents. And parents, we have to ask God how to raise our kids. Honor the father and the mother, for this is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee, that thou may live long on the earth. In spite of what the world is doing, we can't give up on the biblical principles of raising our kids. Amen? Good. Now I just want to say this. So now to the parents, Emmanuel and Alex, you know that you are responsible to train and to teach your children in the way of salvation. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So I applaud you, his mother, his father. I applaud Landon. He's applauding himself. that's when you know you're a bad mamma jamma. You applaud yourself for doing that. Your responsibility as parents is to provide a proper example for your children. It is important to remember that our kids, most kids, all kids, do not do what we say. Let the church say amen. They do what they see. Right? So anything you want your son or daughter to be, as a parent, it is your responsibility to model that in front of them so they have a proper example to follow. Again, Brother James was helping me preach today when he said all fathers want their sons to be better. And as fathers, if we want our sons to be better, we have to show them better. Even if we never achieve it, we have to show them, be the example of how they can do and be better. Amen? So I'm going to skip over the part for the grandparents, seeing as though they're absent. And to our godparents, Brother Joseph, Sister Courtney. Traditionally, godparents were counted informally as responsible for ensuring the child's religious education was carried out according to the parent's wishes. Today, the word godparent may not have explicitly religious overtones as it once did. Godparenting is often associated with baptism or christenings, like we're doing here today. The term godparenting and godparents is not addressed in scripture. It's not a biblical term. Godparenting is entirely a human tradition that is neither condemned or condoned in scripture. The one thing I would say to you as godparents is this. Pray for them. And by them, I mean first and foremost, pray for Emmanuel and Alex. Right? And when you pray for them, this is important, godparents, because you know, because you'll have an ear, you have an ear to the family. Pray specifically for their parents' marriage. Are you guys with me? Don't. You can all that other stuff. That's fine. But use your advantage as being close to them to pray specifically for them in the area of the best thing that could ever happen for Preston
Roland, and Landon for their mother and father to stay together. The best thing that could ever happen for them. And you guys are close enough to help pray and help ensure that that happens. So as you're praying for them and as you have an ear to the family, send the boys to me this weekend. I got them. Let me take them. Y'all get away. Y'all have some time. Y'all do something. Yeah, send me the boys. If I can't take all three, give me two. Do something. Help lighten the load. One thing, you got my church pastor's anniversary, 16 years. I became a pastor. And it's a typical when you become a pastor, you have a big installation started. Everyone coming, giving you gifts, cards, well wishes, all of that. My sister came through the line and she said something that blew me away. You know what she said? She said, and I'm expecting to go, I pray you have a good ministry, be a good pastor, you know, whatever, blah, 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 that stuff. And she said, I pray that you and Jemaine stay married. That's what she said. And she said, whatever I can do to help that, she said, don't hesitate to ask. Now, if you remember when my sister was here and lived here, it was nothing for my boys to go home with her. We come here on Friday night. We going home with Aunt Cindy. And half the time, she didn't want them. She had two boys of her own. What she want another two for? But she understood the significance of giving Jemaine and I time alone to renew, rekindle our love, our relationship. And after a respite, what? Bring the boys back home. They go with her on Friday night. We pick them up. You don't know how valuable. Oh, my God, I wish they would come back from Knoxville right now. Because I send the boys there today. I would. She was still in Jersey. I'd be like, guess where y'all going? But it made a difference. And as godparents, you can play that special role because you're close to them. So as you pray for their marriage, pray for the boys. Be role models for them. Be examples for them, even as you support their parents. Church, we have a responsibility because they are not strangers to us, but they are members of our church. And as such, I'm going to read this statement. And if you agree at the end, I want you to say in unison, we will. Do you, as members of Taylor Tabernacle, agree to support these parents, grandparents, and godparents by your example and your acts of service? Do you agree to reinforce the biblical instruction, discipline, and love of these children under the supreme rule of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, please signify by saying, we will. We've got a responsibility too. Some of you may remember Mother Rooks, who's a member of our church for a number of years. She passed a couple years back. She said something to me that kind of blew me away. One day we were there, and it took her a long time to join. She came forever, brought her grandchildren. And then she finally joined, so we were having our pastor's meeting. I said, Mother, what took you so long to join the church? Wonderful woman of God. She said, I decided to join the church when I saw you discipline your sons in church. That's what she said. That's what she said to me. She said, I've been in a number of churches, and the pastor's kids are always treated special. What she was meaning by special, by meaning that they didn't get in trouble. You could discipline other kids, but don't discipline the pastor's kid. You could say stuff to other kids, but don't say no. She said, when I saw you drop down on your son, she said, I'm signing up right now. Of course, it released the church to also discipline my sons. And I need you to discipline my sons because what? I don't see everything. And I can't be everywhere. Myself, my wife, I can't. So I need a church family that sees what I'm trying to do with my sons, right? To come in agreement with my sons that if I'm unable to see or do, and they see behavior that you know I wouldn't condone, to take action. You know, when I tell our church leaders today, these guys say, don't wait for me. If you need to speak, you see something wrong, fix it. Tell me about it later. Right? Everybody's scared to say and do anything regarding someone's child. But in the church, in the house of God, we don't do that. I need you to be a father when I'm unable to. I need you to look after my sons. I need you to look after my wife when I'm not able to. That's what the value of being in what? A family. So we have a responsibility. Just like the godparents, we have a responsibility to pray for their marriage. As Christians, brothers and sisters, we need to pray for their sons. Watch them grow. One of the things you're going to be blown away by when you go upstairs. When you go upstairs, every last one of you, you're going to see the Hall of Fame of Taylor Tabernacle Children. And they got up on that wall not by themselves. When you get up there, you'll see. And I want you to read what they're doing. You're going to be blown away. You're going to be sitting up there. People are going to be yelling at you for not eating. Because you're just reading like, oh my. And guess how they started? Like this. He's up there. Like that. Right? You're not up there. Courtney. This is how they started. Right here. This is how they came to church. Just like this. Just like these young kids today. That's how all of these young people started. Today, they're on the wall of fame of Taylor Tabernacle. That's what's possible when you ask God, teach me how to raise my kids. And so with that being said, we're going to ask the parents to stand. Ty, you have that. We're not going to use water, but we're going to use the oil. I'm going to ask that you come. In the name of the Father. Name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for this life that you have given to us. We join today with these parents, Emmanuel and Alex, and we give Landon back to you. Your gift to us is holy and precious. And we ask that you would just keep this young man from this day forward. Cause his life to be impacted by the presence and the power of God. Bless him. Cause him to grow strong. Cause him to become a mighty man of valor. For both his God, for his family, and for his community. Stay the hand of the enemy. Keep him away at all times. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in his life, that of his brothers, for this family that give their life to you. We pray this simple prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Come on, let's give them a hand. Thank God for Landon. He did better than most. You know, most babies are trying to do cartwheels and flip out and all that stuff, but thank God for you. Thank God for your patience today. We're in the final stretch. We're going to ask those that are responsible for doing our offering. Someone would come, Todd, if you would come, our offering, then our announcements. After that, we'll give the benediction, and then we'll head upstairs to eat. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to cover the information for our offering. Amen. Well, for those of y'all that are visiting, well, before I do offering, what do I do? That's our drum roll. Amen. Because we don't have our drummer here today. But amen. It's offering time, right? Another way for us to celebrate and honor God. Amen. 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 So good. I guess it would be midday. Everybody, members of Taylor's Tabernacle. There are several ways to give, and I'm going to give them to you today. First, you can give by text message. You can text the code Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, to the phone number 73256. And you will receive instructions with a link as to how you can give. You can give through our website. Please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving, and you can follow the instructions there on how to give. Amen? You can give by U.S. mail. You can send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, 19139. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. You can give by Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. We now have a way to give via Zelle, and it's Zelle at 215-287-6968. Now, for those who are gathered here in the sanctuary, there are two baskets over there, one for tithes and offerings, the other for the preacher, and you can place it, and you can get an envelope from the usher, and you can place your offering right there. It's right over there by the side door over there in the windowsill. Amen? Finally, you could give to the pastor through Cash App. So if you want to give directly to the pastor through Cash App, it's $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. All right? And you could give to him by Venmo, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. Amen? So those are all the ways you could give. We thank you. Your offering and your giving, because it all goes to what? The operation of God's house. Amen? Amen. That's the only purpose. Amen. Is Brother Jackson here? There he is. There he is. Our Brother Jackson Ford is going to give our announcements.
Good morning, church. On behalf of the pastor and leadership team, I would like to thank you all for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to subscribe to the YouTube page and follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you're informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Now for the announcements. We have choir practice for all ages, 2nd through 5th Sunday after service. Please see Sister Alex for questions. Pastor Ford is asking all members, family, and friends to join him online via Google Meets every Wednesday evening this month as we study the book of Ephesians. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets for juniors and teen classes. We look forward to seeing your children on the 2nd through 5th Sundays. We also have Sunday school from 10:45 to 11:15 in person for primary class. We'll meet on 2nd through 5th Sundays as well. And for the Angel Tree for 2025, there are 60 days until Christmas. Now is the perfect time to begin planning to participate in this year's Prison Fellowship Angel Tree Christmas. Please consider purchasing a gift for a child between the ages of 1 month to 18 years, or volunteering with the Angel Tree Committee, or donating gift wrap and bags. Additional details will be provided soon. On November 2nd, we will have communion in person prayer at 8:30. Thank you. And now for the pastor for the benediction.
Thank you. If you didn't know, that is my son. If you didn't know, you can look at his hair and understand what I was talking about. That's half the sermon, right? I should have had him stand up here while I preached. Y'all would have been like, oh, yeah, I got the, yeah, we get it, Pastor. Come on, let's stand. We want to thank God for Sister Kennedy. Today is her birthday. Let's give her a hand. Thank God for her. Years and years ago, we had her baby dedication and christening as well. And what a dynamic young lady she is turning into. And from what I hear, she is quite
the volleyball player. Amen?
So be sure to wish her a happy birthday as you see her today. Lastly, I am asking the young men to help us serve upstairs. You guys would help me do me that honor and help serve the food for all of our guests. We're inviting everyone to join us upstairs. Special thank you to the DeSources family, not only for the baby dedication, but they so graciously have agreed to feed us today and share with us Haitian cuisine. And so we're excited about that, or at least I am. Maybe you're not. I am. But thank God for their hospitality and generosity. After the benediction, we're inviting everyone to go upstairs and eat. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to bless the food now, okay? So when you guys get up there and everything is in order, if I'm not there, you guys can what? Go ahead and eat. You don't have to wait for the pastor, okay? Every head bow, and let's lift our hearts to heaven. Father, we thank you. This is the Lord's day. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for your word sent and directed at the heart of everyone here. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. Thank you for this occasion. Thank you for this blessed family. Now that we're coming to the time to fellowship, Father, we thank you that this food is blessed by and through your word. We thank you that by your word, you remove all manner of sickness and disease out of the water and out of the bread. And by it, we are blessed. And by your strength, we are able to fulfill the number of days allotted unto us. And so, Father, we thank you for strong and shapely bodies to serve you with. Father, help us to set our focus toward that end, not to satisfy ourselves, but to serve at the hand and will of God. Thank you for the hands that have labored to prepare this food. Bless them according double measure. In Christ's name and for his sake. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor. We'll see you upstairs.